is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app.
And take Boston Sports Original
everywhere you go.
Has there been any conversations from the Crafts on, like, where they see you and this team moving forward?
I'm in constant communication with ownership. We have good conversations. We have hard conversations, but that's just part of our relationship. And again, like, their expectation is that we need to win football games, and that's what we have to do.
Obviously, the focus is on the Bills game Sunday, but there is overarching considerations such as the draft position. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you speak with ownership about, or is it something that's even in consideration going into game planning?
Look, I would keep all those conversations I have with ownership private. And again, like, they're all about winning football games, so that's my job, to get the guys out there ready to go.
Jones and Keefe here on Patriots Monday, WEEI. Happy holidays to you. 617-779-7937. That's Gerard Mayo from the Greg Hill Show this morning, talking about, or not talking about, what the game implication for the draft is on Sunday, as well as the conversations that he has and the closeness that he maintains with Thunder.
Ah, good old Thunder. Young Thundercat.
Yeah, Thundercat.
I gotta put a dollar in the donation jar every time I say that.
Every time you say it. Bob in Brimfield, thank you so much for calling KJ and Fitzy. You're on WEEI.
Yellow.
Yeah, go ahead, Bob. There's a delay that's naturally built in, so just go ahead. As soon as we call your name through your phone, just go right in.
Hello?
Yeah, Bob, hello? You're on the air.
Hey, I made it. Hey, so all this talk about, well, I heard Mayo, and he's kind of saying already he's not going to put the starters in, which is, I've never heard a coach say that this early in the week. And what do you think Vegas' take will be on this? You know, Vegas, the sport betting apps, all the way down to a football square at the bar room, the NFL is fueled by gambling. And this is just a bad look, I would think.
Oh, well, Bob, to answer your question, the Patriots are a 3-point dog right now at BetMGM. So that's pretty much telling you that the line hasn't really been set just yet, because they don't know who's going to be in there. Thanks so much for the call.
Yeah, I mean, the Patriots should be at least a 3-point dog to anyone, let alone Mitch Trubisky, Khalil Shakir, Ray Davis, and whoever else they decide to trot out on. I mean, who the Bills are going to play on Sunday?
Well, one would argue, why would they be any different of a dog as they were the previous week, which was, what, 10? They were 10-point, 10.5-point dog. The other
Were 14.5-point 14, dogs
it was
on the 14
and
road
a half.
Buffalo.
So you would say, well, why are they, what has happened in 2 weeks that you're no longer a 14.5 dog and you're down to 3? Maybe they just know that the Bills are most likely going to rest starters, but if you're the Patriots, I don't think that's anything you have to answer out loud just yet.
Yeah, see, this sets up, I'm going to call this the prospect conundrum, the old tankola. Do the Bills really want to win on Sunday? They have nothing to play for. They gain absolutely nothing by winning Sunday. Nothing.
Yeah,
because they're locked into the two. So they could say to themselves, like, go out there, have fun, play to win-ish if you want to. You can be win-adjacent. However, we don't want the Patriots to get better anytime soon, because we hate that organization and want to see them burn in the fiery hells of the depths of the AFCs for as long as possible. Why would we go out there and beat them Sunday and help them get the first overall pick, which could easily turn into 4 picks for them? Hell no.
So here's what's crazy. Maybe the Bills say, could we potentially embarrass the Patriots organization beating them with our twos as they attempt to still run out a bunch of ones who are really just twos? So, like, you might argue that who Buffalo puts out on the field may be very resemblant to what the Patriots have been putting out as their one for the entire season, minus the quarterback, right? It'd be very fascinating to see how this plays out. All right, Jake in Boston, thank you so much for calling KJ and Fitzy on WEEI. You're on the air.
Gentlemen, listen, Fitzy.
Hello, Jake. Hey.
I was going back in the archives 5 years. We've had some great arguments over the years, all of which I seem to be right about. How badly does Kraft
okay,
need
Jake,
the
you
first
don't work here. You're
to be
on the
phone.
Next? Continue,
how badly
Jake.
Does Fitzy? How badly does Kraft need bird flu to be the next COVID so he could take the jet, fly it over to China, and masquerade the fact that he was the reason why Brady left? The real downfall wasn't the drafting. It's been ownership, guys. It's been ownership. And while I'll argue. And Fitz, you know what I think the real moment was.
Is his real name Joke and not Jake?
Yes. No, I know, Jake. Go ahead.
Hey, KJ, you want to go back in the tapes? I should be hosting the show when you look at the tapes here, given how right I've been about the downfall of
apply.
This dynasty.
Apply for the job. Do the kiosks.
So Julian Edelman was on a podcast, boys, if you guys want to talk some football. And he was with Martellus Bennett, and they were talking about week two of the 2019 season and that practice and the intensity level that was brought in that 1 week Antonio Brown was here. And it ended with both of them agreeing that that team wins the Super Bowl if Brown was on that team. Who cut Antonio Brown? It was the owner. It was the owner point blank, and that was when everything fell apart.
It was the league that said Antonio Brown was done playing football because of the domestic issue that he had, and he was suspended. But where joke is right.
I believe Robert has some domestic issues, right? I believe Robert has some things, right? Nothing as good has happened to this franchise since.
I wasn't expecting Jake to throttle up from zero to angry
joke.
That quickly today.
You mean
well.
Joke? No, but he is
He's
right.
He's a regular caller. He calls Six Rings post game show frequently on Sunday. Sometimes his message is salient. Sometimes
it's still joke. And 8-0, what is a Val at this point, right? Look, it could be Jeek as well for all I care. Look, he's absolutely right. When Antonio Brown was here was the last time the Patriots were the Super Bowl favorites, according to Vegas, over Kansas City. After that, virtually every year, the Kansas City Chiefs, since Antonio Brown got kicked out of the league for the most part for that year, or got suspended by the NFL, the Chiefs have been the favorites. So the last time someone else was the favorites in the AFC, in the race when it was the Patriots, it was when Antonio Brown was here. So Jake is right about that part. But, I mean, my goodness, can we get his voice like in the key of A or something? That is like a high C.
Yeah.
Hi, I am Mickey.
The funny thing is, KJ, I have a friend who still won't forgive the Patriots for cutting Antonio Brown. Like, he's a season ticket holder. He has since sold off a lot of his tickets. He goes, he follows him, he's frustrated. But, like, he's been very... That was, like, that... He thought that was, like, a...
The final straw for Brady's demand of at least give me somebody.
Yes.
Because that was the whole thing. Like, when you brought in Mohamed Sanu for Brady, it was kind of like, really? So we went to the box retail store to go find the engagement ring for the love of our life. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's like if it's also in the basket with your bread and eggs and milk, and then there's a ring from a little counter case. Like, what effort are you really putting into it? So I totally understand that. I think it's just a case of the Crafts want control back of their team. They now have full control of the team. It may not look pretty to some. It may not look pretty to many. But that's what it is. What is it going to take to fix things? Probably a coach that can help get that culture correct and a GM that can go and make deals. That's the only way that it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be based on a big spend. So it's interesting we hear people say, oh, they need to go spend whatever it takes to get T. Higgins. Go spend it. But this is a franchise that has not historically gone and spent big for the things that you want.
No, and I think that's why people were surprised. But when that move was made, I think that was Belichick realizing, I'm probably losing this guy after this year. I just lost Gronk. I got to do something. So when, you know, as crazy as Antonio Brown may have been, running shirtless through the yard, grandma, I'm free, burning his feet with the treatments and the hot air balloon to practice.
Well, remember,
and
Gronk
everything.
Went through the emotional kind of breakdown situation. And then it's
he
almost
had
like
that bad injury
question.
Following Super Bowl 53 too.
Right, right. You remember he was actually given up for a sixth rounder. Technically, you're like, okay, you could have him for a sixth rounder. So it's you just saw the pieces coming apart.
Tampa he unretired and went to Tampa for a fourth rounder. And I think they used that on Dalton Keene. So that worked out.
Yeah, so, you know, all good things come to an end, and it isn't always pretty. I thought it was pretty tough for Belichick to sit through those interviews for the Dynasty while still an employee. That's got to be tough, right? So it's like, were those mandated that you got to be there? Or you remember Bill's like, you know, I've told you about that. Like, it's almost kind of like, gosh, the guy has to sit through that. So look, if that's how ownership operates its business, that's how they operate their business, and for all the great years, it covered all these things that have historically been there, right? Mm-hmm. Like whether it's Brady going over Belichick's head to keep his job, or whether it's or Belichick saying, "No, I'm not going to give you $25 million for 2 years," when all he wanted was, "Can I have my money right now? Do I not have to do a big song and dance and wait for this type of structure or this be moved? Can I just get my basic money?" And I think what makes the fan base really upset, I know we're up against the break, is for $25 million in two more years, this franchise could still have at least some feeling of solid footing than what it's been over the last 5 years since he's been gone. And now watching him on television as the game of the week every week, there's still yet another pain that's kind of associated with it. It's like, damn, Tom isn't even gone away. So every week, somehow, I'm reminded how this guy got cheated. Like, think about it. They're paying him, what, $11 million more on television per year than what he wanted here?
Good for you. Know what? And that's why I have less than 0.0% issue, no matter what you think of Tom Brady's broadcasting. Yeah. That's why I have no problem, even though the man had enough money to do whatever he wanted for the rest of his and all of his beautiful children's lives. Good for him. You know what? Someone wanted to throw that bag at him to hang out with KB and call games. Fine.
He goes and buys Brazil and then makes some adjustments, if you know what I mean. 617-779-7937. KJ and Fitzy in for Jones and Keefe. It's time to trend with Joe Braverman.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now is brought to you by Timeout Market Boston. The Patriots are back at practice today following Saturday's abysmal loss to the Chargers. They are beginning preparation for their final game of the year this Sunday against the Bills. Buffalo has already locked up the number 2 seed in the AFC thanks to a win yesterday over the Jets. Also, some good news yesterday from the Jets thanks to a Giants win over the Colts. The Pats currently own the top overall pick in the upcoming NFL draft. A loss to the Bills this Sunday would clinch that spot. Regardless of a win or a loss, they are locked into a top 5 selection. Also yesterday in the league, the Commanders rallied in overtime to beat the Falcons 30-24 and clinched their first playoff berth since 2020. The Vikings set up a winner gets the number 1 seed in the NFC with the Lions next week thanks to a 27-25 win over Green Bay. And the Bucks put themselves in the driver's seat for the NFC South with a 48-14 win over the Carolina Panthers. Week 17 wraps up with the aforementioned Detroit Lions taking on the 49ers on Monday Night Football. You can listen to Westwood One's coverage of that game right here on 93.7 WEEI-FM beginning at 7:30. Celtics fell to the Pacers at home last night, 123-114, your final score. Indiana shot 53% from the field and outscored the Seas 66-48 in the paint. All 5 starters for Indy scored in double figures, led by Tyrese Halliburton with 31. Jaylen Brown also had 31 for Boston. The Seas will welcome the Toronto Raptors to TD Garden tomorrow afternoon at 3 p.m. The Bruins are also back in action tomorrow in D.C. against the Capitals at 7 o'clock. They sent back down Fabian Lysell to Providence after making his debut in the last game against Columbus. And bowl season college football continues with the Transperfect Music City Bowl from Nashville between Iowa and Missouri. The college football playoff resumes tomorrow with Penn State and Boise State in the Fiesta Bowl. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Time Out Market Boston, nestled in the Fenway. From live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Time Out Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WBEI and WBEI.com.
Tell your smart speaker to play 93.7 WBEI.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WBEI.
How bothersome is it to hear as a player, "We don't want the team to win," after all the noise about like not winning games, to hear people actively say, "We want the team to lose for a draft pick"?
The one thing I have learned playing in this league for 8 years at a high level is when you don't play hard, you get hurt. So I don't know how can you say go out there and lose. We don't play for draft picks. I don't practice for draft picks. I go out there and prepare each and every week like I'm going to win a football game no matter who we play. That's my answer to those questions, I'm sure.
Patriots Monday on WEEI, KJ and Fitzy in for Jones and Keefe. That was Devon Godchild from the 11 o'clock hour. If you missed the entire interview and sound effects, it's at the Odyssey app, AUDACY, type WEEI. It'll bring you right here, and then you can go back chapter by chapter. It would be there you go. I always wondered, you know, when you hear those, you're like, is that a Pepsi or is that a Coke burp, right? Like, you know, because they offer two different types of burps. But he was just, what I've appreciated about Devon Gotcha all this season, he's been very candid. And he was very candid in our conversation with him, as you just heard that excerpt.
Yeah, he was great. I enjoyed the interview with him. Now, he was obviously filling in for Gonzo, and we both agreed that this probably wasn't going to be the best Monday to have Gonzo on.
Well, you're also forgetting he left the game because of concussion. So.
Right. So there's probably the availability of, like, you know, are you in a dark enough room to do this interview? Like, we don't want to go through all that portion and everything. Like, who could be there?
Of course. That being said, like, you know, I thought he was candid. And he's never been one to be afraid to speak his mind as well.
Yeah.
You know, we could have gone on with him as well, because I would love to know, just like the same way that I asked Hunter Henry at the beginning of his interview.
Yeah, that was a short-winded one.
It was like, do you have it in you, full well knowing you, like, he and Gotcha both re-signed. They were both guys who got bumps before the season started.
Right.
Each of them, I think, got a 3-year deal. So do they have it in them, even if they're contractually obligated, do they have it in them to stick around for a rebuild? Because it can be a grind.
I think they would for Mayo. I think they would be willing to give it another go for
Gotcha
Mayo.
Said before the season that he told him on his own video podcast, you know, we would all run through a brick wall for you. I wonder if they still feel brick wall running.
And Mike and Wen, you kind of hinted at that on Thursday when he was on the show, that, you know, they're all in this kind of together. And, you know, that's why when I hear there's these fracture reports and so forth, I'm thinking, like, you know, or give us a source, or at least say I've talked to two players. Are they on the offense side or defense side? Tell me, there is one offensive player and a defensive player who told me they are unhappy. But if you just tell me, hey, there are some people unhappy in the locker room, I mean, that could be the person who collects the towels, right? And technically they're in the locker room, right? So, like, I see one down face. Well, it's the guy who's collecting. But he's in the locker room. So, it's okay. It can be kayfabe a bit with some of this reporting that goes on. Look, they got stories. They got deadlines. They got clicks they got to get to. I get that. I'm just one that believes that sometimes in losing situations where you know that ownership has been a winner, so it's not like they've never been a winner, like the Jets haven't won since 69. So this is an organization that has consistently been some form of loser. So when you go to play for them, there's nobody in the building, including ownership, who's won anything. That's not the case when you come to the Patriots. You've won virtually almost everything. A lot of these guys who are in the league now probably have had or run into some type of coach who's used that Belichickian discipline and approach to coaching even in their younger years and would understand some of that culture that they're coming to. It's right. Just a matter of they're the first ones where there's change. All right, let's go to David in the car. 617-779-7937. Happy holidays. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. Happy holidays. So here's my thing that as to why Patriots fan are up raw. They're upset. I mean, I don't even want to use the words because I can't. The problem is you had a situation that Brady left and nothing was done to replace him. Nothing. The owner could have stepped in. He decided not to. He is the owner of the team.
But he had one time before.
I'm sorry?
He had one time before. Remember, he went against Belichick's wishes about Garoppolo. So do you go to the well twice against your management?
Of course you do. Of course you do. You're the owner.
Not in our jobs.
It doesn't matter.
Not in any of the jobs, yeah.
You do that. And the other thing is, then Belichick got ready to be departed, right? And there was nothing done. There was nothing in place. Okay, Gerard Mayo's in the works. I've known for 5 years. You've known what? You make a guy a head coach who has no experience, who was never an official defensive coordinator for at least a year or two, either with New England or elsewhere, so you had something to fall back on, and then you're spending all this money redoing the stadium, increasing prices every year, and you're not doing anything for the fans, the season holds and everything, and you're not prepared, and you're not going to be prepared. You've got to clean house. You've got to get rid of all of the coaching staff. Get rid of all of them.
Thanks, David, for the call. Yeah,
I remember the outrage.
I remember the outrage when Joe Judge was hired as the Giants head coach. It was so loud and so just absolutely overwhelming that here's a guy who'd only been a special teams coach, had become a head coach. He had never been a coordinator. He had never called plays, but he became the head coach. I remember how they were rioting in the streets. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly my point. It's when you're a bad team, sometimes you don't get the best coaches. And I guess getting into this bad team deal, obviously the Patriots with the number one pick right now, Tennessee is at a virtual tie with the Patriots. But because they beat the Patriots, they're number two. The Giants, the Giants are three, Cleveland four.
You see that even back then, Mayo knew, like, you know what? You know, hey, actually, you know what? Joe Braverman, I think we actually have Gerard Mayo speaking to this very topic. Excuse me, Coach Mayo, way back when you guys played Tennessee, did you not go for two at the end of regulation and take it to overtime because you knew there could be a first pick overall tiebreaker at the end of the year?
It's a good question. I just don't want to get into it now.
All right. Well, we'll see if we can get into it later on. Thank you, Coach.
Well, we might get into it once we get to the draft, because here's what's interesting. It's all about, if you're moving up to the first pick, you need a quarterback, right? If you're trying to get to one, you need a quarterback. So clearly the Patriots don't need a quarterback. Tennessee needs a quarterback. Giants need a quarterback. Cleveland is actually talking about how they're talking to the league, how they can restructure Deshaun Watson's contract because they need a quarterback. Jacksonville doesn't. The Jets do. Carolina doesn't. Vegas does. Chicago doesn't. So that's your top nine. New Orleans doesn't. They still have David Carr. So now you're like, okay, if you're the Patriots, who are you really going to talk to about getting what you want as your return haul for that first round pick? Because clearly you're going to swap picks, but what else do you get, right? So the Titans have some okay draft capital. They've got three fours, one from Seattle and then one from Kansas City. But you would say, okay, if Seattle misses the playoffs, that has a little value to it. But Kansas City, you might as well call it the top of the fifth round. So get rid of Titans. You're not going to call them, right? They don't have to move up from 2 to 1. If they can get who they want to get at 2, if the Patriots even stay at 1.
Right. If they're like, we're okay with either Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders if they're hell-bent on taking a QB.
Right. So you don't move down to 2. The Giants at 3 have low to no draft capital. They've got a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, no 6, and a 7. What do we get on the phone with the Giants for? I don't care what they need. If they can't give you back what you want in a haul, what's the point?
Well, now I'm looking at Tankathon right now.
Yeah.
And I have spent way too much time on this website the last couple of years, which is also another embarrassing indictment of where we are in Pat's Nation. Cleveland has the tiebreaker over the Giants by a whisker as of right now. Now, that could change, but Cleveland at 3, Giants 4, Jacksonville 5. I just don't see any of these teams being able to put together the offer that unless Brady calls from 8 and says, guys, here's Max Crosby, a 2.
Let's not jump ahead too far. I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, we can get there because that's the tease of getting to it. Cleveland, they've got 2 threes and 2 sixes. So eliminate the sixes. Okay, so maybe you get on the phone. They've got 2 threes and 2 sixes. So if they've got 2 threes, maybe Cleveland is one of those teams that you can get on the phone and say, give up one of those threes that you have plus that number 3 spot. Now you might be talking some juice. Okay, so let's save Cleveland as a potential team you get on the phone with moving down to 3 because you can get one of their threes. Mm-hmm. Or you talk to the Jags, okay, because the Jags have 2 threes and 2 fours. But they don't need a quarterback. Though probably what they've seen over the last 6 weeks, they probably forgot they actually had a quarterback. But if they've got 2 threes and 2 fours, you would find out, are they willing to get to the top spot for what it is that they want? Do they want, say, an Abdul Carter to go number one? And if so, if that's the case, do you take one of their threes and one of their fours and their number 5 pick?
I don't think they're going to want. Would I like that haul? It's okay. I got to talk to somebody between 2 and 10, KJ.
Okay,
that is going to give me something between. Here's what I would be looking for if I'm the Patriots, and lo, by the grace of Zod, come Sunday, a valiant tanking takes place at Gillette, and they lose by a single point to Buffalo. Oh, what a great game played by Joe Milton. Oh, so close. Let's say they
I love how you bring out Moby Dick when we can go with the Cliff Notes. Get to it. Get to it, Fitzy.
So I'm looking for a haul between what the Bears got for that pick from Carolina and what San Francisco gave up to go and get Trey Lance. Like, I need at least 2 ones.
See, this is,
and I need 2 threes or 2. Like, I need a boat. I need a boat, if not a bag.
It's about what they're going to give up. So one of the things you have to presume they're going to give up is immediately their this year draft position in the first round. That has to be part of the deal. There's no way. Right. Okay. So thanks for eating all the lunch. The Jets, they're not even going to get on the phone with you. They have no draft capital. The Raiders at 8 have 2 threes. Maybe someone you get on the phone with. If they've got 2 threes and you move down to 8, But is that enough of a haul?
Imagine you, ring, hello, Patriots. Hi, this is Tom Brady. Can click. I have Mr. Kraft?
Oh, yeah, click.
Click. No, Tom Brady doesn't call here anymore.
Click. So at 9, this is very interesting. This is why I say don't eat your lunch so fast, because you get to Chicago. Chicago has 2-2s. Do you potentially get on the phone with Chicago and say, we will take your number 9, give us one of your 2s, that, and guess what? One of their 2s is Carolina's 2. So Carolina is actually going to finish worse than Chicago, and you can get a higher 2. So give us the 2 from Carolina and your number 9 pick and the future, and maybe you swap maybe like a 6th rounder somewhere down the road. Do you move to 9 and able to get another second round pick? You already have 2 threes from the Judon pick, so you'll have 2 twos, 2 threes. You can get someone at 9 at a lower thing, and you probably can get a late four or a swapped 4 or 5, or maybe even a 3 next year for Chicago, because you know that Chicago is so well, they're so ready to wheel and deal right now because they got to figure out things quick the way their division is. They've got to make a play.
I don't think the Patriots can afford to go that low. See, I think they can fall back, KJ,
to 9.
See, at that point, in my estimation, from what I've looked at, and trust me, I have done everything under the sun I can to avoid steering into the wide world of mock draft'em, because once you're there, you're there. That's it. Like, you have steered into it. Your now is all about
your future.
I try
not to do
what
John Lyons does, who's always making a deal. I'm like, you don't even know if they will pick up the phone. Yeah, like, they, you know, so he was like, I would do this deal with them. Like, so you know they'll get on the phone with you and do the deal. But when you have the number one pick, you do know that people are going to call and there's an interest to get to that pick. It's just that, let's just call it what it is. It really is a weak draft. Like, the only people who are going to be willing to move up to number one who feel they are desperate for a new quarterback, I would put the Giants in that category. Mm-hmm. I would put the Jets in that category. I would put the Titans in that category. I would put Cleveland in that category because they're trying to get a financial reset.
Do you have, let me ask you this, just go broad picture at 2025 draft. Do you, KJ Carson, four months out, have an apple of your draft eye for the Patriots?
Honestly, because my daughter's getting married in February, so that kind of skews everything. You know, it's like Super Bowl, wedding, and then I could get back to life. You know what? It's really going to be what Elliott Wolf can get done before the draft happens. The worst thing I think that can happen is, okay, you get the draft and you don't necessarily address everything that you can get. Maybe you look at Michael Penix Jr. No one thought he was going to go 8. So you almost thought that the Patriots were thinking about, hey, maybe Penix is a guy or Bo Nix is a guy we could get at the beginning of the second round. And both of those guys are gone before 15. So imagine if they passed up on Drake May thinking that they could get Nix or someone else later in the first round, maybe, you know, or top of the second, and didn't get it. What would the conversation be now? So it's really going to be incumbent on Elliott Wolf to be able to either get a collection of offensive linemen through free agency before we get into the draft, or be able to get a star player receiver, because that's really where you only get the star player at this point now, a star receiver that's able to say yes to come based on that, because at least you would say, all right, you got the piece with Drake May, you've got an A1 receiver, now you can put these other things together through the draft. If you want to go all offensive line, you can do that. So if there are less things that have to be taken care of in the draft because you've gone and got them in free agency, that's the way I would like to see it, versus getting a bunch of guys you draft, and then what if those guys don't necessarily work out, and then free agency doesn't work out, then you've got a problem that looks like this year all over again.
I've said time and before, this is the best thing I've ever cribbed off anyone in the parking lots when I meander about and try to talk to and take the temperature of
Moby
the
Dick.
Fan base.
Give us the cliff notes.
One guy told me last year, hey, Fitzy, just tell somebody up in the Patriots organization, turn on Yahoo Auto Draft. Don't overthink it. Just take the best player available. You have so many needs on this team at this point now. Save quarterback. Literally anybody in this top 10 would be a fit on this Patriots team right now, KJ. Anyone.
Yeah, but drafting for this team is like choosing a wife or a husband. I don't know if I would choose a wife or a husband on an auto draft.
You wouldn't take best available?
I would not take best available because best available may have a whole lot of mouth and have no skills in terms of building a family with me. I should say that with me so that way it doesn't seem like, oh my God, KJ sings it's when it's very cold outside. Now look, KJ and Fitzy, we're getting ready to wrap things up. We still get to your calls. Dave and Jerome, we haven't forgotten about you. 617-779-7937. We're in for Jones and Keefe. Thank you so much for hanging out with WEEI and happy holidays.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI and streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
KJ and Fitzy, WEEI, been in here for Jones and Keefe today. Thank you so much for spending time with us on Patriots Monday. It continues with Andy Hart and John Lyons next. Before we get to the other calls.
Hey, before we get to the other calls, yeah. What's your favorite Def Leppard album? Because this is a great rejoin.
So I've got an even better Def Leppard story. So my old mentor, a guy named John, he's like the number three guy at one of our competitive companies. When I was hired at XM, he gave me a tour of the place on his day off. All right. And so I'm in the elevator, and in the elevator with myself, John, my wife, who wasn't my wife at that time, we drove up to D.C. to see him, is Joe Elliott from Def Leppard. Lead in the
singer.
Elevator.
Yeah.
Lead singer, right? So we get up to where it's supposed to be like this master control area, and as John is showing us the place, there's supposed to be a person sitting there 24/7, 365. Mm-hmm. He opens up, and so he says, and right here is like the Star Trek where there's always a person man-controlled. He turns his head. There's nobody at the seat. And so Joe Ellie goes, oh, boy, we're inside the walls of power. So it was like, well, did somebody get fired? I don't know. But it was one of those interesting situations where it's like, okay, my wife had no idea who he was. But if you ask me, like, what's my favorite one? It's got to be the Pyromania album. It's still the one I keep on.
Pyromania is pretty High and Dry is highly underrated. For anyone out in the audience, I bet there's a large contingency in Western Central Mass that knows what I'm talking about. Let it rock, man.
I do like the analog of the entire band of Pyromania than some of the stuff of the digital you would have to buy, you know,
Hysteria rules, I know. It's all hits.
You can't necessarily play the drums the same digitally as you can when you can hit the cowbell, right? Like when you know, the cowbell in Foolin', I mean, that is like, you know, when you talk about like the greatest cowbell songs, Foolin' is one of those great cowbell songs.
Up there.
Yeah, it's up there. So, you know, when you can't really get the cowbell in the later years because of the digital kit the drummer has to play, it does take away a little bit of the sound. So before we get to our callers, you know, we're talking about like the different hangover foods. 16,000 people identified their top three. Mine came in at 5, Pedialyte.
Oh,
what you guys mentioned, well, Joe didn't mention anything because he doesn't. None of you said Bloody Mary. That, like, good gracious. It's below coffee. 17th was Bloody Mary's.
17th was the BM? You're kidding.
BM
Bloody Mary's
is 17.
Come on, America.
Yeah, mine is
Enough
Pedialyte.
With this liquid IV, Pedialyte. Come on.
Did you ever see your old man ask
for a Pedialyte? No, he said, go make me a Bloody Mary, dum-dum.
Yeah, and did you see him in his later years for healthcare when he was all dried up and was completely dehydrated for the last 48 years? Oh, Pedialyte helps, trust me. Like, I've had some nights, some have seen it up in Malvern, but I've had some nights where Pedialyte was kind of like right next to me, literally in the bar. McDonald's hash browns finished 4th.
They are good.
French fries 3rd. Hamburgers 2. What do you think was the number one, Joe Braverman?
I would guess chicken nuggets.
Chicken nuggets. What do you think it is, Fritzy?
I'm going with pizza. Cold pizza.
Gatorade was number one.
Ugh.
Cold pizza. Yeah, cold pizza was number 10.
That's obvious. It's always like a hangover cure and a solution.
Right. There you go. So coffee was like in the teens.
Coffee's terrible for you because of how acidic it is.
It dries you out even more.
In a perfect world, of course, I take, you know, if I know it's going to be a long night, I'll prehab. I'll take some of those fancy modern pills the night before that eat up the acids in your body so that you feel no ill effects from the boozehol. Then the next morning, have a nice liquid IV and have a breakfast burrito, and then I am ready to conquer the world all over again.
Breakfast burrito, it was up there pretty high on the list. If you like
underrated food, my friend.
Yeah,
underrated
breakfast burritos food is like number two when you get to the northeast region of the country.
As a 978 says, a tall coffee, Advil, and a bacon, egg, and cheese. You lay on the couch until you feel like a human again.
BEC is goat. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, you got the you got enough grease. You've got the absorption of the bread, however you take it. You know, so yeah, you can't go wrong with that. That's for sure. But Gatorade, Pedialyte, I keep those around, and then I can eat any food I want to because I'm not dried out. So I wish I had known that the night that I was out with Ludacris and we had like several bottles of Grey Goose. There was Patron liquor, and when I woke up the next morning, like the sheets were all brown. And it's that was from
Hey, I didn't know we were going to finish the show broadcasting on WTMI, but hey, life.
but life it was from throwing up. I don't know what else. I don't know what you were thinking about for that. Just from just absolutely throwing up. Dave in the car. Thank you so much for calling KJ and Fitzy. Happy holidays. You're on the air.
Hey guys, great show. My claim to fame is in '82 in L.A. I rode up in an elevator with John Travolta. But anyway,
there you go.
Couple of quick things.
I'm gonna be
Bob
somebody.
Kraft, big successful businessman. He won't have the guts to admit he made a huge mistake. All from Elliott down to Mayo, down to Van Pelt, down to Covington. All four of those guys in their current position are having that responsibility for the first time this year. Okay, and they're in over their heads. But
Dave, thanks for the call. Yeah, you wipe out all of them at the same time in a situation where they don't pay costs like that, like. Okay, maybe one of the coordinators may not be back next year, but you'd almost have to figure three of the four players will be back out of Wolf, Mayo, AVP, and Covington. Three of them are going to be back for sure.
I would bet three out of four. I would think that there's gonna. I would think there will be change within one. I can imagine very much Mayo coming back and hearing we still believe in it. The organization needs to come out next week and say we didn't do a good enough job surrounding him with what he needs to be a success as a rookie head coach in the NFL. However, there are some schematic changes. Josina Anderson hinted as much in her piece that kind of made the rounds at the end of last week.
So it'll be interesting. If you missed any of the show, remember the Odyssey app is free. AUDACY. Type in WEEI. It will be under the Jones and Keefe tab because that's who we've been filling in for. But if you missed Davon Godchild's interview, it was excellent and it had sound effects. Plus, we also talked to Hunter Henry as well. So Patriots Monday continues with Drake May, next with Hart and with John Lyons. Have a great Monday. Fitzy, it's been a pleasure, brother.
Happy New Year to you, KJ. Always
Merry
a pleasure.
New Year. Merry New Year.
Thank you, guys. That was fun.